through music this morning. Take your Bibles, if you would, please, and turn in them to 1 Peter chapter 3, the book of 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to read just one verse for our text this morning. I think I mentioned it last week, if you were here, that Brother Brooks, who preached for us all day last Sunday and then Friday previous to that for our sweetheart banquet, that he had some car trouble, and he had sent me a message Friday saying, I don't know for sure if I'm going to make it in Friday night in time for the banquet, doing my best, but I just wanted to give you a heads up. And it was during that time that I asked the Lord, what would you have me bring if I need to bring the message tonight? And this is actually what the Lord gave me. And I'm thankful the Lord didn't let me preach it that night, because I actually had some time to do some more study through it. And I told him this past week, brother, not only did I get one message out of you telling me you weren't sure you'd be there that evening, but I got two messages out of it. And you'll be thankful this morning that we're going to handle it with two messages instead of one. Otherwise, we'd be here a longer portion of the day. All right, so 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Then it says this, notice it, that your prayers be not hindered. That your prayers be not hindered. In the next message that we'll preach out of this verse, we'll deal with all that God says previous to this last statement. But today's message, we're just going to focus in for a little while on that statement, that your prayers be not hindered. And the title of the message this morning is a simple one: let's not help Satan hinder us. Let's not help Satan hinder us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for the time that we've already spent in your house, both during the Sunday school hour and now during this worship service. And we're so grateful, Lord, for the Word of God and the myriad of truths that we get through it. Obviously, the most important truth, that we can be reconciled to God the Creator and live with you eternally. But there are so many other truths, Lord, that assist us in this life. And I pray that we will not be a part of the hindrance that we know Satan will bring our way. Help us with that this morning. And again, if there's somebody here that's lost and doesn't know Jesus as their personal Savior, we pray they'll get it settled today. In Jesus' name, amen. If we haven't yet realized it, Satan's primary priority is to hinder us as human beings. You see, he realized early on in his existence that hindering Almighty God would prove futile in every way. Therefore, he set out to hinder finite man. And his success on that front has been quite overwhelming. In order to get to God, he must get to us. And somewhat unexplainably, God allows it. In the Israelites, we have a prime example of this truth. And even before Israel, for instance, Genesis chapter 6, verse number 6, tells us that God was, quote, grieved at his heart, unquote. He was so grieved at his heart that he had made man on the earth. Judges 10:16 says that God's, quote, soul was grieved for the misery of Israel, unquote. Does Jesus care? Someone might inquire. Oh, yes, he cares. And Satan is well aware of that fact. In order for us to keep from helping the devil to hinder us, we must become keenly aware of his devices. Now, we find that verse of Scripture there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 2 that tells us that we are not to be ignorant of Satan's devices. But 2 Corinthians chapter 2 actually bears out the scheme of which, hear me this morning, we can take part. We can actually have a part in Satan's scheme to hinder us. It's found in verse number 9 of that chapter. It reads like this: "For to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you," catch this, "whether ye be obedient in all things." So he says in a later verse that we're not ignorant of his devices. But in verse number 9, he says, "I want to see whether you would be obedient in all things." In that instance, Paul implored the Corinthian church to be obedient in the matter of forgiveness. And while forgiveness is extremely important, hear me this morning, it doesn't hold a candle to that greater responsibility, which is obedience. Is it any wonder that God told King Saul through Samuel, "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Jesus didn't say, "If you love me, make a sacrifice." See, oftentimes as believers, even in this day and age, this is what we're looking to do. We're looking to sort of suffice our love for God, maybe have something fill in for God, when we know that we're being disobedient to his simple commands. And so maybe we try to do something way over the top, at least what we might consider to be way over the top. "God, I'm making a great sacrifice for you." Some people think that putting in a large sum of money will suffice for their disobedience. "Well, God, you know I'm not obeying you in all these other areas, but I'm going to make a huge sacrifice and put a grand sum of money in the offering plate." Jesus didn't say, "If you love me, make a sacrifice." He said, "If you love me, keep my commandment." John 14, 15. In the Garden of Eden, man's fall was not really about a piece of fruit, but about a failure to obey God. Our text passage differentiates the husband from every other group mentioned before him in the book of 1 Peter. Now, this is interesting to me, and I want you to pay attention to this, and maybe we'll say some more about this next time we have the opportunity to preach from this passage. Citizens are told to submit to civil authority. Slaves in that day are told to submit to their masters. And wives are told to submit to their husbands. Something interesting occurs, though, when the husband is addressed. His, notice it, "likewise." Did you notice it there? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 7, it starts out with a "likewise." And so he's hearkening back to these other three groups that he's already addressed, and now he's saying, "likewise." But I want you to notice there's something peculiar here. His "likewise," the husband's "likewise," pertains to his leadership. His "that" pertains to his prayers. These other groups, you'll read them. God says you're to submit to the authority that I've put in place, that this sort of benefit will come to pass. But when it comes to pass, for the time that God addresses the husband, his "that" is related to something different. It's related to his prayer. I want you to hear me. We must realize this morning that for Satan to hinder society, for Satan to hinder the community, for Satan to hinder the church, and for Satan to hinder the family, hear me, he must first hinder the prayers of Daddy. For it is, quote, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man that availeth much, unquote, James chapter 5, verse number 16. And you say, Pastor, are you saying that that righteous man there is referring to simply a male and specifically to a husband? No, that is not what I am saying, but I will tell you this, because of the position that God has given the husband in the world in which he created, if the prayers of the husband is hindered, then he's actually hindered the remainder of society. The father's prayers represent godly desires or aspirations that literally guide the world. The assumption is that a godly husband is praying. The Lord just assumes that. Notice this in 1 Timothy chapter number 2. Men, I'll say some more about this next time. But you know, the Lord is speaking to me and has been speaking to me about my prayer life. And we can do so many things well as husbands, as fathers, as leaders in society. But if we don't have the type of prayer life that God would have us to have, men, we're going to largely fail. Such an important truth this morning. Now notice 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 1. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. Now, do you notice how that praying allows for us or helps us or contributes to leading a quiet and peaceable life? We're going to look at a passage of Scripture tonight in the book of Thessalonians where God says that we're to study to be quiet. It almost doesn't even make sense. You would think that we ought to study to be able to teach or to be able to help somebody else or what have you. But God says that we're to study to be quiet. So what exactly does that mean? Well, we'll look at it tonight. But there's a hint here in chapter 2 of 1 Timothy verse number 2. He says, if you're going to lead a quiet and peaceable life, then you need to be praying. Verse number 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. Why did Jesus implore us to pray to the Lord of harvest that he would send forth laborers into his harvest? Why did he do it? Because God would have all men to be saved. And when people get saved, guess what? There's a more quiet and peaceable life in society. He goes on to say in verse number 5, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. You can pray as much as you want to Mary. You can pray as much as you want to Buddha. You can pray as much as you want to Muhammad. You can pray as much as you want to any other so-called God or being that you want to, but there is no mediator to God outside of the man Christ Jesus. Amen. So there is no other so-called religion this morning that's going to allow world peace to come about. So many would say, we want world peace. We want world peace. Well, that peace is going to be found through the mediator to the one God. His name is Jesus Christ. He says, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Now notice verse number 8. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Men, again, I'll say this morning. Some of the godliest Christians that I have known personally, or that somebody that I revere very highly, some of the godliest Christians that they have highlighted have been women. And one of the reasons that these women have been highlighted is because of their prayer life. Could I say this to all of us as men this morning? God expects us to be prayer warriors. God expects us to be prayer warriors. We see that in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8. Now, for the sake of this specific message, let me close this morning with two vivid examples of Satan hindering progress in the life of the believer. Two vivid examples. In the first place, Satan hindered the Apostle Paul and some of Paul's co-workers. Notice, if you will, 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Go there with me if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse number 17. Now, as you turn there, we're going through the book of 1 Thessalonians on Sunday nights. We're in chapter number 4 right now and getting to the end of that chapter. But we've already gone through the history of what occurred in this region, in this city called Thessalonica. By the way, it's still a city today over in Greece. They call it Thessaloniki. So if you want to look on the map and find Thessaloniki. Don't do it right now. Do it after church, all right? I don't want you to get sidetracked. But this is a modern-day city. And what had happened is Paul and some of his co-workers had set up shop, if you will, began to preach the gospel in Thessalonica. They had a lot of persecution that came their way. But praise the Lord, there were some souls that got born again. And ultimately, a church began there in the city of Thessalonica. And although Paul and his co-workers, Timothy and Silas, had to move on about their way, this church kept going. And the people kept on believing in the Lord and doing what the Lord had called them to do. But Paul wanted very badly to get back to check on this new church. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 17, notice what it says. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavored the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Now notice, he's got this great desire, and I would call it a godly desire. He wants to see the folks that they've led to the Lord, that they've baptized. He wants to see this new church, and he wants to know that they're continuing on for the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no social media back in that day, so he can kind of snoop around in their church services, you know, and see that they're still doing what they ought to be doing. There are no phones back in that day. There are no, at least like we have today, letter carriers. And so there's really no other way to be able to verify that they're going on for the Lord than to go there physically. It's a good desire. It's a godly desire. Verse number 18, 1 Thessalonians 2. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again. I tried on more than one occasion, the Apostle Paul says, to come and check on this new church, the new converts that were established in this new assembly of believers. But then notice what the Bible says, but Satan hindered us. I'll have you know that the same Greek word for hinder here in 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2 is the exact same word for our word in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse number 7, that your prayers be not hindered. It is the exact same word. Now, I wondered to myself this past week, how exactly did Satan hinder Paul and Timothy and Silas from returning to this church? I don't really see anything in Scripture that would necessarily prove what exactly Satan did, but that's not even the point. The point is, Satan, as the prince of the power of the air, as the god of this world, is able to hinder us, and he will hinder us if we're not careful. So what should we be careful to do? Well, we ought to be careful to pray. He says Satan hindered us, verse number 19, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. And I believe the Apostle Paul was looking forward to a day in his mind's eye, in his imagination, where he would see spiritually sons and daughters that he had had a part in their spiritual life, helping them to be born again, and then helping them to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He didn't want to just see them in the Lord's presence, but he wanted to see them receiving rewards that God had because they had lived a life that honored the Lord Jesus Christ. But what did Satan do? Satan hindered them from doing what was a good, godly desire in order to accomplish. So the Apostle Paul and his co-workers is a vivid example of Satan hindering. Let me give you a second one this morning. The prophet Daniel. Now this is one that to me really, really sticks out because of the imagery that we see in it. All right, go to Daniel chapter number 10, please. The book of Daniel, chapter number 10. Again, the message this morning is let's not let Satan or help Satan hinder us. We see this in Daniel chapter number 10. And the difference between Daniel 10 and 1 Thessalonians 2, in 1 Thessalonians 2, we are not told explicitly that the Apostle Paul was praying about getting to this Thessalonian church. So we don't know that specifically. Now, I imagine, based on other things that I read about the Apostle Paul and even his co-workers, that they were probably praying, oh God, please help us to have an opportunity to be able to get back to this church. All I'm saying is we don't read those very words. We simply read that he had a great desire to get back to them. In Daniel chapter 10, there's no doubt about it. Notice, Daniel chapter 10, we'll begin reading in verse number 2, and we'll read a few verses in this passage. Daniel chapter 10, verse number 2. In those days, I, Daniel, was mourning 3 full weeks. I ate no pleasant bread, neither came flesh nor wine in my mouth. Neither did I anoint myself at all till 3 whole weeks were fulfilled. And in the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, then I looked up, I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Euphaz. We don't have time to read the entire description of this man that Daniel sees, but this is an amazing sight after Daniel has been grieving and mourning The way that he's mourning is similar to the way that people would mourn when a loved one had passed away in that day. So he's in deep grief of soul. Notice verse number 10, Daniel 10:10. And behold, an hand touched me, which set me upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright. For unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. Daniel had begun praying, and God, through his messenger angel, is telling Daniel, from the very first day that you began to pray, I heard your prayer. Verse number 13. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I remained there with the kings of Persia. Isn't this beautiful imagery? Here we have this messenger angel. He, from the very first day, is attempting to bring an answer to God's prophet Daniel. But there's this evil angel known as the prince of the kingdom of Persia that withstands this messenger angel. There's literally spiritual warfare going on somewhere in heaven, probably the second heaven. You say, Pastor, do you believe that things like this go on this very day? Absolutely. We can't see it, but friend, I'm telling you this. There's spiritual warfare going on today in this very same fashion. And we might begin to pray about something, and I don't know how the Lord would do it, but maybe he would want to bring an answer by a still small voice of maybe a messenger angel. I don't know. But I know this. Satan wants to hinder it. He wants to hinder the answer to our prayer. Verse number 14. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days. For yet the vision is for many days. Turn to verse number 18. Daniel 10:18. Then there came again and touched me one like the appearance of a man, and he strengthened me and said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be unto thee. Be strong. Yea, be strong. And when he had spoken unto him, I was strengthened and said, Let my Lord speak, for thou hast strengthened me. Man, we cannot be spiritually strong like we ought to be without a proper prayer life. Would to God that husbands would learn how to pray. Then said he, verse number 20, Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? Now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. There's going to be some more fighting going on. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. But I will show thee that which is noted in the scripture of truth. There is none that holdeth with me in these things but Michael, your prince. It's interesting, this passage here talks about those things that are noted in Scripture, these visions that God has given, this prophecy that ultimately God would have him write down. God wanted him to understand. Listen, man. God wanted Daniel to understand the Scriptures. And if we're going to lead the way that we ought to, so that our society and our community and our church and our family, so that they are not destroyed, we need to understand the Word of God. You say, how do you understand the Word of God, Pastor? Read it and pray for understanding. Can I say this? This is still in the Bible. The Bible says that if a wife has a question concerning theological things, she's to go home and ask her husband about it. That's what the Bible says. And it's sad in this day and age that when a godly wife, a wife that is seeking to be godly, has a question about the scriptures, when she doesn't have enough confidence in her should-be godly husband, professing husband, to ask him. We are called to be the spiritual leader of our home. And God says that our prayers can be hindered. Now hear this, and we'll close this morning. Both the finest of men, Paul and Daniel, these are some of the finest believers that the Bible tells us about, had a great role in leading people for God. I think we would all agree on that. And Satan hindered them. Think about it. I don't consider myself an Apostle Paul this morning, and I do not consider myself a prophet, Daniel. I don't. Do you? But here's the point. If Satan could hinder Paul and Satan could hinder Daniel, don't you think that Satan can and will hinder you and me? That his plan is the same for us. You say, Pastor, well, what does it mean? It means that we need to be praying as men of God. It means that we as husbands need to be leading in the spiritual areas of life. It means we need to be reminded and understand that God will only help us by spiritual means. We don't have the weapons of warfare that are physical, but spiritual. Mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. How are we to do war against the forces of evil men? We're to do it the same way that Paul did it, the same way that Daniel did it, the same way that all believers in all of human history have done it, through spiritual means, through prayer. Now, all I'm telling you this morning is, let's not help Satan hinder us. Now, next time we're going to look at the remainder of that verse, and we're going to talk about what exactly it means to dwell with them according to knowledge, to give honor to the wife as the weaker vessel, as heirs together of the grace of life. Notice, God says that your prayers be not hindered. In other words, fellas, we can be doing all the praying we want, and thank God we ought to be doing that. That's what the message is about this morning. But if we're not following God's protocol in the rest of that verse, God says there's a good chance our prayers are going to be hindered. So what do you want this morning out of your family? There have been times where I wanted to see a change of some sort in my wife. And I've gone about it oftentimes the wrong way. By constantly mentioning something to her, you know, or trying to have these conversations. And I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that. But what does God say that we ought to be doing? Praying. And there's a way to go about making sure our prayers are not hindered. Are you having trouble with your children this morning? Mama, Daddy, what does God say we ought to be doing? We ought to be praying. But there's a way in which our prayers can be hindered, and we'll look at that next time. Let's not help Satan hinder us. Would you bow your head and close your eyes this morning? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I want to ask you in the first place, do you personally know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Has there been a time in your life you can look back to when you realize that you were a sinner? There was nothing that you could do to earn salvation. All you could possibly do is receive the gift that Jesus earned on your behalf. And when you received it, God gave you eternal life, and you were born again into His family. Maybe you're here this morning and say, Pastor Taylor, I'm not sure that I am a child of God, that I've been born into His family this morning, but I'm concerned about it today. Preacher, would you pray for me? Is there one like that? If you just slip your hand right up and right back down, we'll pray for you about that this morning. Is there one? I don't know that I'm saved this morning, Pastor. Pray for me. Pray for me. Pray for me. Let me ask you this question, and I want to direct this specifically to husbands this morning. It's not that I'm leaving anybody else out, but husbands, we are called to be the leaders in society. And I wonder how our prayer life is this morning. Is it a serious prayer life? When we sing a hymn such as Sweet Hour of Prayer, has there really ever been a time where we spent an hour in prayer to God? Do we have a serious prayer life this morning? Maybe you'd say this morning, man, woman, boy, or girl, I'm here and I'm saved, but God is speaking to me about my prayer life this morning, preacher. God is speaking to me about my prayer life. Amen. Amen. I want to invite you to come when the invitation starts. This is an opportunity to be able to pray to God right now. Maybe there are some this morning that just need to get on their face before the Lord and say, Lord, you know I've not really been a person of prayer. But I know that I need to start, and would you help me? One of the best ways to be a person of prayer is to have a specific time and a specific place in which we go to pray. So maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart about that, or maybe something else this morning. I didn't see any hands concerning salvation, but maybe there's somebody here this morning that needs somebody to take the Bible and talk to them about eternal salvation. Maybe it's about water baptism, believer's baptism after you've been born again. Maybe it's about church membership this morning. God is speaking to your heart about that this morning. We would invite you to come, whatever the need may be this morning. Let's pray together. Father, I pray now that you'll bless this invitation time in such a way that we would get serious with you. Lord, we live in such an evil, wicked, dark day. And we cannot fight in this day and stand in this day like you've called us to do in the strength of our own might and our own power. Lord, we need to fight in your might and in your power. And we realize that a great part of that is by prayer. Help us this morning. Help us as husbands this morning to be people of serious prayer. And we would not help Satan to hinder us. Bless this time now in Jesus' name. Amen.